So not only did we start off with the inspired Word of God in terms of the Hallel, but we continued with God's inspiration upon those who wrote the songs that they did. They were most certainly in sync with what we are talking about today, that being of joy, that being of Sukkot, that in terms of coming or going up to Jerusalem. So today has been a day of preparation for you. Keeping in mind, I will say this, practice makes perfect. So we will be doing this again next year. And we'll be doing it again every year until Messiah returns, and then we'll be able to do it in his presence. A little bit of joy coming out of you. I would say that he refilled you then, because you were pouring it out over there. So I have some bad news for you. Summer has concluded. Yet we are in the midst of our fall Moedim. We are in the midst of the fall feast. So even though there's a season ending, there's a season beginning. And another sad note, I think I'm going to have to start coming up with other sermons that are not life, X, and Torah. So keeping in mind, I think this is either number 17 or number 18 now. So I mean, we've had our fill for a while. Could I do more? Yes, I probably could. But I think it's time for a bit of a change. Wherever God takes us. So Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur are behind us. And we are in the midst of Sukkot. For this Shabbat is the fifth day of 7 days. For we read in Leviticus 23, starting in verse 34, tell the people of Israel, on the 15th day of the 7th month is the feast of Sukkot for 7 days to Adonai. On the first day there is to be a holy convocation. Do not do any kind of ordinary work. For 7 days you are to bring an offering made by fire to Adonai. On the 8th day, you are to have a holy convocation and bring an offering made by fire to Adonai. It is a day of public assembly. Do not do any kind of ordinary work. So the 8th day is known as Shemini Atzeret. Simply put, translation-wise, the 8th day of the assembly. Nothing more, nothing less. It's just the 8th day. Yet provides very little contextual understanding as to what is to be done other than what has been conveyed. And then there's a 9th day that's not mentioned in Scripture, but if you're having a good time, why cause the party to end, so to speak? So there's this 9th day. It's not scriptural in terms of part of the Moedim, but it is about Scripture. It's Simcha Torah. We're rejoicing in the Word of God. Because what we're going to see and what you're going to see here and what we're going to talk about next week is that on Simcha Torah, or this day, and we don't know if it's the actual day or not, but it was during the 7th month, likely at the time of Sukkot, when they were commanded to read the Torah scroll once every 7 years. Keeping in mind, I'm glad we do not have to wait once every 7 years, for we have it every week. So this 9th day is another day of joy and rejoicing. Simcha, meaning rejoice or to be joyful in Torah, which, as I said, we will talk more about. Yet Sukkot is a pilgrimage feast where we are to celebrate it in the land. Now, keeping in mind, we're not in the land, but we are celebrating, are we not? There will be a time when God gathers his people, and the nations will have to go up on Sukkot as well. Keeping in mind that little sliver of land that you see by the sea is a lot bigger than it really is. So it's like, how are all these people going to be contained there? Well, I'm not worried about it because God already has it understood. So 3 times a year... all your men are to appear in the presence of Adonai your God, in the place which he will choose, at the festival of Matzah, the festival of Shavuot, and the festival of Sukkot. They are not to show up before Adonai empty-handed, but every man is to give what he can in accordance with the blessing Adonai your God has given you. And no, this is not a tithing message. For I believe this will be fully restored when Yeshua resides on his throne in the land. For we read in Ezekiel, the three primary appointed times, and technically there's a fourth here, but of the appointed times that are listed in Leviticus 23, there are three. We read in Ezekiel 45:17, the prince's obligation will be to present the burnt offerings, grain offerings, and drink offerings at the feasts of Rosh Chodesh and Shabbat. At all the designated times of the house of Israel, he is to prepare the sin offering, grain offering, burnt offerings, and peace offerings to make atonement for the house of Israel. I'm not going to get into all the offerings, but keeping in mind, there is an appointed time where people are going to come up, and it's going to be during Ezekiel's temple, which Adonai is said to be sitting on his throne. For Adonai is Yeshua sitting on the throne in Ezekiel's temple. Verse 21, on the 14th day of the first month, you are to have the Passover, a feast 7 days long. Matzah will be eaten. So Passover makes the cut in Ezekiel's time, in Ezekiel's temple. Then you have 45:25. On the 15th day of the seventh month, during the Feast of Sukkot, he is to do the same thing for those 7 days in regards to the sin offering, burnt offering, grain offerings, and olive oil. For we read of the prophet Zechariah, and what is to transpire in the days when Adonai, that is Yeshua, presides in Jerusalem. This is Zechariah 14, starting in verse 16. Finally, everyone remaining from all the nations that came to attack Jerusalem will go up every year to worship the king, Adonai, and to keep the festival of Sukkot. Keeping in mind, you guys didn't come up against Adonai, but as the nations, you're a step ahead of everybody else. You're already preparing for that time. If any of the families of the earth does not go up to Jerusalem to worship the king, Adonai, no rain will fall on them. If the family of Egypt doesn't go up, if they refuse to come, they will have no overflow from the Nile. Moreover, there will be the plague with which Adonai will strike the nations that don't go up to keep the festival of Sukkot. This will be Egypt's punishment and the punishment of the nations that don't go up to keep the festival of Sukkot. So for those who think, well, it's been done away with, it hasn't been done away with. It's just not reached its fullness in our lifetime. For this is not a punishment against those who were on the wrong end of the outcome, but this is to be a time of celebration in honoring our King. Though Yeshua may be rejected by some, does not and will not change the reality of who he is. For Sukkot is a time of joy, where rejoicing is to be prominent within the people. Deuteronomy 16, starting in verse 13. You are to keep the festival of Sukkot for 7 days. After you gathered the produce of your threshing floor and winepress, rejoice at your festival. You, your sons and daughters, your male and female slaves, the Levites and the foreigners, orphans and widows living among you. 7 days you are to keep the festival of Adonai in the place Adonai your God will choose, because Adonai will bless you in all your crops and in all your work. So you are to be full of joy. Blessing comes from him, and the blessing that we should be manifesting is the joy that comes from him. The primary word used for joy or to rejoice is samach, S-A-M-E-A-C-H. Hence, when you hear the term hak sameach, it means joyful festival or joyful time. So don't forget to wish someone today a Chag Sameach. Translated as rejoice, joy, or joyful, in many passages, it's found 7 times in Deuteronomy alone. A time of preparation with great anticipation. That was last week's sermon. And no, I'm not going to play the Heinz ketchup song again. For the nation is being prepared to enter the land promised by Adonai. Yet for a generation who did not fully trust in him, did not come into the promise. Yet a generation who grew up in the wilderness is being prepared for the fulfillment of a promise made long ago, long before Moses, dating all the way back to Avram, when Adonai called him to leave the land and go to a land Adonai would show him. For Adonai would tell him that this land would not be inhabited by your descendants for some 400 plus years. Why are you telling me? I'm not going to see it in my lifetime. But the promises were made to Abraham, and thus they are conveyed generationally. Genesis 15:13. Adonai said to Avram, "Know this for certain. Your descendants will be foreigners in a land that is not theirs." This is speaking of Egypt. "They will be slaves and held in oppression for 400 years. But I will also judge that nation, the one that makes them slaves. Afterwards, they will leave with many possessions. As for you, you will join your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. Only in the fourth generation will your descendants come back here, because only then will the Amorites be ripe for punishment." When we look at the aspect of joy or being joyful, it is not an emotion, but an attitude, with rejoicing being the action of the attitude. Joy is demonstrable. For when we look at the proximity of this attitude, you will see that there is no room for anything else as it pertains to the nation getting ready to take possession of the land and what is required of them when they take possession, starting in Deuteronomy 12. "Here are the laws and rulings you are to observe and obey in the land Adonai, the God of your ancestors, has given you to possess as long as you live on earth. You must destroy all the places where the nations you are dispossessing served their gods, whether on high mountains, on hills, or under some leafy tree." In other words, get rid of all the idols, get rid of all the stumbling blocks. "Break down their altars, smash their standing stones to pieces, burn up their sacred poles completely, and cut down the carved images of their gods. Exterminate their name from that place." If you want to talk about fall cleaning or spring cleaning, this is the intense version of it. "But you are not to treat Adonai your God this way. Rather, you are to come to the place where Adonai your God will put his name. He will choose it from all the tribes, and you will seek out that place, which is where he will live, and you will go there. You will bring there your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tenths, the offerings that you give, the offerings that you have vowed, your voluntary offerings, and the firstborn of your cattle and sheep." In other words, there is only one place. "There you will eat in the presence of Adonai your God, and you will rejoice over everything you set out to do, you and your households in which Adonai your God has blessed you. You will samach over everything." Verse 8, "You will not do things the way we do them here today, where everyone does whatever in his own opinion seems right, because you haven't yet arrived at the rest and inheritance which Adonai your God is giving you. But when you cross the Jordan and live in the land Adonai your God is having you inherit, and he gives you rest from all of your surrounding enemies, so that you are living in safety, then you will bring all that I am ordering you to do to this place Adonai your God will choose to have his name live. You will bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tenths, the offerings from your hand and from the best possessions that you dedicate to Adonai. And you will samach in the presence of Adonai. You, your sons, your daughters, your male and female slaves, the Levites staying with you, inasmuch as he has no share or inheritance with you. So this is the instruction in preparing the people for the land. I'm going to plant a seed here. Is this any different than entering the kingdom? It's the same. You're removing that of the land that pollutes you. You're preparing yourself. You're going to be in the presence of God. He is going to sustain you. There is a parallel between the land and the kingdom. Don't think that this is just done away with, oh, well, that was history. Think about it in today's standard. Think about it in today's time where you are preparing for the kingdom yourself. There is much to glean from Deuteronomy 12 in preparation for entering the kingdom. So you will rejoice in the presence of Adonai, a presence made known by a physical structure that he inhabits amongst his people. The visible presence of Adonai is not something that goes unnoticed. Today, though we may not see a physical presence, and by that I mean what you can actually see with your own eyes, does not mean that his presence is absent. For believers, we have his presence residing within us, and thus remains in us. Thus, if we are to rejoice in the presence of Adonai, why, as believers, are we not always joyful with the presence of Adonai residing in us? Consider the time when Solomon dedicated the temple in Jerusalem upon its completion. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of Adonai filled the house, so that the Kohanim could not enter the house of Adonai because the glory of Adonai filled Adonai's house. All the people of Israel saw when the fire came down and the glory of Adonai was on the house. They bowed down with their faces to the ground on the flooring, prostrating themselves. They gave thanks to Adonai, for he is good, for his grace continues forever. The glory, the Shekhinah, was visibly seen, for it is identified to look like this. Exodus 24:17, to the people of Israel, the glory of Adonai looked like a raging fire on the top of a mountain. So the presence is visibly seen. Yet we have that same presence residing inside of us as the fulfillment of a promise made by Yeshua to all whom have placed their trust, and thus their lives have been transformed by him. Yeshua conveys this in John chapter 14, starting in verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. What was that first verse in Deuteronomy? Here are my laws, rulings you are to observe and obey in the land Adonai, the God of your ancestors, has given you to possess as long as you live. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforting counselor like me, the Spirit of truth, to be with you forever. The world cannot receive him because it neither sees nor knows him. You know him because he is staying with you and will be united with you. A very different looking presence of God in the form of Yeshua, yet no different than the presence that was seen in the desert. For he says, I will not leave you orphans. I am coming to you, he says. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh comes upon you. You will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea, Samaria, indeed to the ends of the earth. If you have come to the realization of Yeshua, then you have the presence, the essence, the power of Adonai residing in you. And to reiterate Deuteronomy 12:12, and you will rejoice in the presence of Adonai your God. Don't lose sight or even faith as it pertains to Yeshua's return. For we will once again go up to Jerusalem at the appointed times and rejoice in his presence. Deuteronomy 12:18. No, you are to eat these in the presence of Adonai your God, in the place Adonai your God will choose. You and your sons, your daughters, male and female slaves, the Levites, who is your guest, and you are to rejoice, you are to samach before Adonai your God in everything you undertake to do. Not only are we to rejoice in his presence, but we are to rejoice in his provision. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22. Every year you must take one-tenth of everything your seed produces in the field and eat it in the presence of Adonai your God, in the place where he chooses to have his name live. You will eat the tenth of your grain, new wine and olive oil, and the firstborn of your cattle and sheep, so that you will learn to fear Adonai your God always. To fear, you can be afraid, but it means also to revere him, to trust in him, to believe in what he says and what he will do. Verse 24, but if the distance is too great for you, so that you are unable to transport it, that is your tithe or your offerings, because the place where Adonai chooses to put his name is too far away from you, then when Adonai your God prospers you, you are to convert it into money. Take money with you. Go to the place which Adonai your God will choose and exchange the money for anything you want. So the money is not what you're bringing in this case, but you're exchanging it to partake in the presence, his presence. Exchange the money for anything you want, cattle, sheep, wine, intoxicating liquor, anything you please, and you are to eat there in the presence of Adonai your God and enjoy yourselves. Enjoy yourselves. You and your household. Deuteronomy 26, starting in verse 9. Now he has brought us to this place and given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Therefore, as you see, I have now brought the first fruits of the land which you, Adonai, has given. You are then to put the basket down before Adonai your God, prostrate yourself before Adonai your God, and take joy in all the good that Adonai your God has given you, your household, the Levites, and the foreigner living with you. There's that foreigner again. Inconvenient, I think not. Intentional? Absolutely. Sukkot affords us the ability to do both. We are to rejoice in his presence, and as a pilgrimage feast, where the nation would bring the tithe from their crops, their offerings on Sukkot, and eat it in the presence of Adonai. As we honor him through his provisions, one might say a statement is being made here. We're recognizing the provisions he has sustained us with by eating them in his presence. Look, Lord, all that you have provided us. And you're actually eating it in his presence, as opposed to at a distance and giving him thanks. You're eating it with him. He's at your table, you're at his table. It's a big table, by the way. We have yet to see this in its fullness, though we are being prepared for a time when we will eat in His presence. Remember, P&P does not mean prim and proper, but presence and provision. When we are living in the power of Adonai through His Ruach HaKodesh. So there is no excuse, especially in the midst of Sukkot. Let us rejoice today especially, but let us be joyful always. For remember this, Nehemiah chapter 8. When the seventh month arrived, after the people of Israel had resettled in their towns. Remember, they've been gone for years. All the people gathered with one accord in the open space in front of the water gate and asked Ezra the Torah teacher to bring the scroll of the Torah of Moses, which Adonai had commanded Israel. Jumping to verse 8, they read clearly from the scroll in the Torah of God, translated it, and enabled them to understand the sense of what was being read. We can read it in Hebrew, but it's not going to make any sense to anyone here. If we're reading it in the language that we understand, it will make sense to you. You may not understand it at first, but it will make sense to you. Trust me. Nehemiah, the Teshada, Ezra, the Kohen, and Torah teacher, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, "Today is consecrated to Adonai your God. Don't be mournful. Don't weep." For all the people had been weeping when they heard the words of the Torah. They should be rejoicing, but they were weeping. Why? They had just returned from captivity, and they heard about the curses. They heard about what got them out of the land. And they wept. Then he said to them, then Ezra said to him, "Go, eat rich food, drink sweet drinks, and send portions to those who can't provide for themselves. For today is consecrated to our Lord. Don't be sad." Think of that almost as a commandment. Don't be sad today. Things may be going on in your life, but remember, joy is an attitude, not an emotion. Because the joy of Adonai is your strength, Ezra conveys. So there is no excuse if you've embraced Yeshua and trusted in the Lord with all of you, that all you have. The presence of Adonai resides in you, in that He has promised provision. Then the attitude of joy must be present. For I have shared with you these two aspects where joy resides. Where there is presence, where there is His presence, there is joy, there is peace. Where there is provision, where you are provided for by Him. Yes, you may work, but He most certainly is watching you. He's guiding you. Where there is provision, there is joy, because the provision ultimately comes from Him. So on this Sukkot, on every day, rejoice for the simple reason that God resides in you. Yet turn it up a notch on Sukkot, because it's not just the joy inside, but it's joy outside. Like I said, maybe we will be ground zero for a new pandemic, a different pandemic, one that is not instilling fear but is instilling hope and joy. Let your joy, let the joy that resides in you, not just on Sukkot but on every day, be contagious. Who are you going to infect tomorrow with the joy of the Lord? So if everybody please rise.